This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Raina Troy Hotline.
Alicia, Michael, what's going on?
We know you have takes. We have takes.
I'm actually surprised that your rant line, rave line, whatever, isn't completely full.
Why can't we just win a game?
Can I blame Michael Castillo for this?
Can I blame Bob Connolly for this?
Could I put on a zebra shirt and just go out there?
Scratch, claw, up against the wall.
Can't explain that what I'm feeling right now, guys.
I can't believe it.
Let's open up that rave line! Woohoo!
Oh, I can't believe USD has hired Lincoln Riley. Oh, yeah!
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Rant of Troy Radio. This is the CarCast after USC's 56-10 shellacking at the Coliseum. We're going to give you our reactions and so much more. As always, you can follow us on Twitter, Rant of Troy. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/Rant of Troy. Be sure to subscribe to us anywhere you can find a podcast. We should be there. Spotify, TuneIn, Overcast, and of course, Apple Podcasts. You can subscribe to us right here on YouTube, where we are live with video right now. And if you're joining us on video, be sure to like the stream and subscribe. As always, our email address is randomtroyfansite.com, and our phone number, 818-643-7227. Second Whisper and Show. I'm your host, Michael Castillo, joined along by co-host here in the Rant of Troy studio in Los Angeles, Alicia Deratola.
Hello, everybody.
We have to talk about a game in which Alicia, SC, until the dying seconds of the game, was being outscored by Stanford in the second half. How do you feel about that?
I do not care.
I was thinking of putting a tweet up on the Rant of Troy account of like, SC sets a historic low for points in the second half, and have like the Stephen A. Smith, I do not care, we do not care, whatever it was. If you're just joining us, and if you are living under a rock, you did not watch the game. USC wins 56-10, a game in which SC led 49-3 at half, which according to Elias tied USC's record for points in a half dating all the way back to the 1930s against Montana. I looked up when the most recent time that SC had scored 49 points in a half. The only thing I could find, and maybe we'll get more clarity on this in any sort of half, is when the SC Sports and Information Department puts out their post-game notes. But according to my findings, it's most likely that SC has not scored 49 points and a half, which they did tonight, since the infamous 1974 comeback game against Notre Dame, where they famously scored 49 points in the second half of that game. As he did tonight, 49 in the first half. And just dominated all three phases of the game. Stanford could do nothing in the first half. They did score a field goal, but really nothing. And SC, everything SC did turned into points. An incredible first half display. Your thoughts?
Yeah, that first half might have been the most dominant display I have seen from a USC team ever. I mean, certainly
because it was in all phases, right?
Like, yeah, I think in a Pac-12 game, certainly. Mm-hmm. It was all phases. The offense looked unstoppable. The only stop in the first half, if my memory serves me correctly,
was the USC special
that was entirely on Caleb Williams for not just picking up that first down with his legs.
Second down play was a little pass underneath to Mario Williams
where he cuts back.
He cuts back and loses 2 yards.
Yeah, yeah.
Sets up third and three instead of a third and one, which probably is a run up the middle or something. But
yeah,
even still, that's extremely nitpicky.
Yes. I mean, offensively, it was as dominant a display as I have seen from USC. It is as dominant a display as I have seen from any college football team that I've watched in a long time in a conference game.
Mm-hmm.
Defensively, you could not ask for more from the defense. I thought the defense in the first half was going, you know, stride for stride with the USC offense in terms of making plays and looking miles ahead of the opposition on special teams. They're dumb and punt to Zachariah Branch, and we all saw how that went. USC genuinely made Stanford look like a high school team. Like there was a certain point where I sat there and was like, this actually doesn't feel fair. Like this isn't a fair fight. This is like having IMG Academy play Bishop Sycamore. Like it was that level of, these two teams are not on the same level.
Yeah.
And it's not that I thought that Stanford was very good going into this game. I watched the tape from them playing Hawaii and I did not come away impressed. I didn't think that Stanford was going to cause USC too many problems. But I spent most of the day, you know, my day job is to cover college football on a national level.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent most of the day watching teams like Austin Peay push Tennessee to the brink.
Yeah.
I watched Clemson be like in a dogfight with Charleston Southern at halftime. Watched, you know, Oregon leading up to the game, like watched Oregon struggle with a Texas Tech team that just lost to Wyoming last week. And, you know, just all of these teams that were ranked playing cannon fodder opponent and not doing away with them quickly, sort of having trouble with them. So I went into the game thinking like, well, it's Pac-12 after dark.
Mm-hmm.
It's Stanford, you know, Stanford has done that to USC in the past. Like, Stanford beat USC as a 40-point underdog once. I was there. I saw it live. Like, you know, it happens. So it felt like, okay, maybe something is going to happen here. And then that got put away very quickly.
Very, very quickly. SC scores on the first drive. Really easy drive, marching down the field, and then Stanford's third offensive play is the interception. Ashton Daniels is under pressure from Bear Alexander. It's picked off by Max Williams. He nearly goes the entire distance and takes it back for a pick six, but he gets stopped. I think there was a penalty afterwards on SC, but they had to score a couple minutes later. But I saw a message from David on YouTube that said, if I had to compare this game to anything, I would say 2005 against Arkansas. Feels like SC could have scored 200 in that game. I think that's an apt comparison. That was a game SC won 70-17. And if I remember right, in the first quarter alone, SC scored 28 points on like a minute and 20 of possession. That was a play just dominated by huge plays, right? Huge breakneck plays. I think Reggie had a couple of really long runs in that first half. And this was a game that was very similar, except I almost think it was more impressive because outside of the Zach Branch punt return and outside of the 75-yard touchdown pass to Brendan Rice, everything else was a drive. SC was driving down the field. Mind you, it was chunk play after chunk play. You look at the drive chart.
Average like 11 yards per play.
Yeah, like 8 plays for 75 yards, 3 plays for 19, 12 plays for 93, 5 for 55, the one play 75-yard touchdown pass to Brendan Rice, and then 7 plays for 80 yards right before the half. SC was just driving on them and just being methodical. Doing everything they could on offense, and on defense, this was like the perfect game in the first half on defense. I thought it felt like literally every play was some sort of a havoc play. If Solomon Bird or Barry Alexander wasn't breaking into the backfield and creating pressure. And creating havoc that way, then it was a pass breakup by Max Williams or Kalen Bullock, or it was the two turnovers in the first half too. Like, SC was just creating so much havoc defensively. That's what you want to see. That's what this defense is predicated on, right? Like, providing so much pressure and aggression and havoc plays to put the opposing quarterback and the opposing offense on their back foot. You saw that. Ashton Daniels ended up getting hurt. You never want to see a quarterback get hurt. He gets hurt in this game. And, you know, it seemed like SCU just kept getting home and getting to him. Lamson comes in for Stanford. He is the, he won the backup job, per se. Never took a snap at Stanford, at Syracuse. I think he was a tight end at Syracuse or wide receiver at Syracuse. Converted to a quarterback as he transferred to Stanford. Never took a snap. I thought he looked okay. He looked better than Ashton Daniels did, but even still, SC was, you know, very good at just limiting the damage. Even in the second half, when they gave up a couple of long drives, they hold firm on a goal line stand in the first, in the third quarter. They end up giving away the touchdown to Stanford at the end of the game, the end of the fourth quarter. This was just like exactly what you want to see from USC's defense. And it's about consistency, because this is 2 weeks in a row that SC has made a bad offense look bad. And I know it's Stanford. Nevada last week, and Nevada just lost to FCS Idaho, which is embarrassing for them, right? But how many times do we have to say it? SC has let many a bad team get off the hook and not look like a bad team comparison to what SC is or should be, right?
For example, Austin Peay lost to Southern Illinois, an FCS school, in week one, and then went out and took it to Tennessee, and Tennessee didn't make them look like the bad team that they are.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you can do if you're USC, especially when you get to conference games, because Stanford is not good this year, but they're a Pac-12 team,
right?
They are a Pac-12 team, and you face a bad Pac-12 team, making them look this bad is an achievement. From the defensive perspective, I think that this game, like I said last week for Nevada, this exemplified it even more. That I think what we're seeing is the ideal for what Alex Grinch sees from his defense.
Yeah.
And by that I mean, yes, the defense will give up big plays because they are aggressive, and mm-hmm. occasionally that aggression will get taken advantage of.
Right.
But the theory behind it is, you give up one big play, and that's fine, because 75% of the other plays in the game are negative for the other team. And I think what the defense did very, very well in this game, that you would hope is a skill that they're building and a blueprint for how to proceed going forward, is, yes, you occasionally give up the big game, but then you get the stop down the field. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, you give up that long run, or you let them get off the edge, or you have the one-on-one play where the receiver makes the play over the one-on-one defender. But then you hold them to a field goal attempt or a field goal. but then you stop them in their tracks, but then you create the turnover, but then you get the fourth down stop. And you look at the drives, the defensive drives that USC had in this game, that's kind of how it played out. Either USC just absolutely overwhelmed Stanford and just took them out of anything and forced a punt immediately, or Stanford found a bubble of success, but then couldn't do anything with it because the defense was stout on the back half of the drive. And you can win games that way. I'm not delusional enough to think that the way that you play Stanford can translate directly to what it'll look like if you're playing a Colorado or a Notre Dame or a Utah or Oregon or a Washington or whatever. Those teams are just far more explosive and far more dangerous than a San Jose State or a Nevada or a Stanford. But the idea is that you're building to something, you're building the philosophy, and you're starting to see it sort of get executed in ideal circumstances, which the thing that was frustrating about the San Jose State game was, in ideal circumstances, the defense wasn't following through on that sort of theoretical ideal, where this is your prime opportunity to show exactly what it'll look like if you do the job properly, and that's what they did against Stanford. And I think it's very encouraging from that perspective that you're starting to have things go right in this kind of a game, which gives you an opportunity to build when you play ASU, when you play Colorado, to move forward as a defense, especially when you have the performance that you get in this game from guys like Bear Alexander, who are extraordinarily disruptive in the trenches.
Yeah.
When you have Solomon Bird in there creating havoc plays, when you have Jamil Muhammad catching a quarterback off guard because the quarterback isn't expecting the defender to catch up to him from behind, those players stepping up and making those plays is what you hope the foundation of this defense will be going forward. You hope that they can continue to translate those plays when the better opposition comes down the line. But like, you don't get to choose when the opposition is going to be in front of you. You only get to play the guys that are in front of you. So you might as well go out and make Stanford look like they're a high school football team.
If you're joining us live, thank you as always. Join us live here on YouTube. Be sure to like the stream and subscribe. It helps grow the show, of course. But of course, there's one other way to support the show, and that's by signing up for DraftKings. Because if you're a new user, you can receive $150 in bonus bets instantly after following just three steps. Create an account, deposit, and then wager $5 on any sport. Whether your first wager wins or loses, you'll still receive $150 in bonus bets. All you have to do is use the code Reign of Troy when you sign up. And of course, the best part is you help grow the show as well, because using the code Reign of Troy not only gets you the bonus, but supports the podcast. So if you're considering signing up for DraftKings, SC is going on the road in 2 weeks to a gambling state in Arizona. If you're considering signing up for DraftKings while you're on the road, use our code Reign of Troy to maximize your first bets. Of course, the offer is available for new customers who are 21 plus and physically present in legal gambling states. Please remember to always gamble responsibly and check the episode description for the full terms of the offer. Alicia, I put a poll here in the YouTube chat. Who is your favorite Trojan tonight against Stanford? I did not run this by you before I put the poll in, so I just pulled four names out of a theoretical hat here, and I'm curious your thoughts. Who would be the four names that you would put down?
Okay, the four names I would put down are Caleb Williams.
Yep.
Bear Alexander.
Yep.
Zachariah Branch.
Yep. Who's the fourth guy?
I mean, I know
the fourth guy, to be fair, is the fourth place person in the poll.
I know who I would put Marshawn Lloyd.
It was Marshawn Lloyd. That was the four names that I put in the poll.
I think
winning the poll, though?
I think you could make an argument for Max Williams. I thought Max Williams had a really good
Max
game.
Williams could have got there. Kalen Bullock could have got there. Yeah. Taj Washington could have got there. You could have tipped a hat to Miller Moss for playing a whole quarter, I mean, a whole half.
I personally would vote for Marshawn Lloyd, but I'm also going to make a declaration right now that's a little bit hyperbolic, and that's fine. I think Trey Madden has been superseded.
I think my favorite
running back of a traditional style. So I'm putting, like, for the sake of making the declaration, I'm putting like Reggie Bush to the side.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Because Reggie Bush.
Lendale?
No.
You're gonna take Trey Madden over Lendale White?
No. I'm not saying who I would take. I'm just saying your favorite. Who brings me the most ounces of joy every time they have the ball in their hands?
Mm-hmm.
Every second of Marshawn Lloyd carrying the football this season has brought me immense joy. Like, I get a smile on my face that just spreads.
I actually think this is a case of optimistic, Alicia.
I love watching that man run. I just love, he is beautiful. Like, it's art. He's so big and powerful, but also, like, I saw somebody else, I forget who it was, might have been Ryan Karchi on Twitter going like, Marshawn Lloyd, like he's like a bullet shot out of a gun. And I'm like, that's been my thought too. Like, Marshawn Lloyd looks like he's got a jetpack on his back, but not in the way that just like, oh, that dude's like, Zachariah Branch is fast, mm-hmm. but he's not like projectile, like cannonball. If you try to get in front of me, like, Zachariah Branch is going to weave through you. Like, sure. Marshawn Lloyd is just going to drive right through you and
but he's got some dipsy doo.
He's got some dip. That's the thing. I love watching Marshawn Lloyd carry the football. Like, it is beyond, like, I'm obsessed with watching Marshawn Lloyd carry the football. It's not healthy.
Well, I'm going to give you bad news then. He is fourth on the poll.
Well, the robots are just flat out wrong. They don't appreciate art the way that I do.
Uh-oh. So I'll just spoil it for you. Winning the poll currently right now with 41% of the votes is Bear Alexander.
That's a good answer.
As people's favorite Trojan of the night against Stanford, followed by Caleb Williams at 34% and Zachariah Branch at 18%. I think it's crazy that Zachariah Branch returned his second punt return of the season of his career in a 3-game career. He has 2 punt returns for a touchdown. Tomorrow, I'm probably going to end up looking through a bunch of stats. And if I would have thought about this earlier, I would have looked this up. And I hope that when SC puts out their stat book tonight, they have it in there. But like, the 2 punt returns for a touchdown, that has got to be as many, if not more, than a lot of big dudes that you think of, like, historically.
Yes.
You think about Adoree Jackson. Adoree Jackson probably only had, like, 3 punt returns for a touchdown in his career?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I remember, I think it was Nelson Aguilar had, like, 4, I don't know if it was punt returns or returns overall in a season, and that was, like, the USC record. So, no, special teams return touchdowns are very rare, and I'm fairly confident that this is the most punt returns in the first 3 games of a career Trojan has ever had.
Undoubtedly, yes.
And the sad thing is, like, if opposing teams are smart, that will be the last punt return that he has this season for a touchdown, because...
Mm-hmm. Adoree had 4, by the way.
You cannot punt... As I saw somebody tweeting, like, his high school coach said he didn't understand why teams continued to punt his way.
Yeah.
Teams should not be punting to Zachariah Branch. They mm-hmm. should just not do it. I hope they do. I hope they do. But like, they should not.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. It helps for the entertainment of everyone. To see Zachariah Branch go and return punts. By the way, I looked it up. He only has one punt return. The other one was a kickoff return. It was a kickoff
but
return.
But he had that.
So he has two returns. Overall returns.
You know what it was in the first game he had, or I think in both games, he had punt returns that were like one move away from it. He's almost returned five punts for touchdowns this season. It's wild. The kid is absolutely
so
wild.
Adoree has eight all-time returns, which I think is the record. Adoree had two punt returns in his junior year and two kickoff returns in his junior year. That's six. That's four right there. In his sophomore year, he had two punt returns but no kickoff returns. And in his freshman year, he had two kickoff returns but no punt returns. So that's eight total for Adoree Jackson. And yeah, he has the record. I think, if I remember right, he beats AD. AD had the record before him. So Zachariah Branch off to an incredible pace to go.
Well, how many touchdowns does he have this season now?
I think it's three.
Three or four?
Right, three. Yeah. One in each game? So one? No, he had two against San Jose State, so that's four. Mm-hmm. Four in three games.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's incredible. So, let's talk about the offense a little bit more here. SC, in the first half, I just want to go over some statistics. There was a tweet from USC Analytics that I thought was brilliant. I should have found it before I mentioned this thing. It was about SC not having a single negative play in the first half.
Mm-hmm. I saw that.
There's two tweets. Every single one of USC's plays in the second quarter went for positive yards. That's wild. In a whole quarter, every single one was for positive yards in the second quarter. USC had zero negative plays in the entire first half. They only had two plays that went for 0 yards. Both of those were incompletions, which were on back-to-back plays. One of them was like the third and three deep shot down the field. It was wild. You look at the comparison at the end of the first half. Here it is, the first half. Score, 49-3, SC leads. Total yards, 414-143. First downs, 19-8. Only 19, because SC was moving so quickly.
Yeah.
Total plays, 39-32. SC averaged 10.6 yards per play in the first half. Honestly, I would have thought that would have been higher. In the second quarter alone, SC averaged 16.2 yards per play. Just insane. That's and on 13 outrageous. Plays. So it's like they still had a bunch of plays, 210 yards in that second quarter, 204 in the first quarter alone. It was just incredible. Two forced turnovers. Just doing everything that you want. And of course, Caleb Williams sets the record for four total touchdown games, because as a passer, he only had three tonight. 19 of 21, 281 yards through the air for three touchdowns. He did have his first running score of the night, which was a 21-yard score, his only rush all night. The only time he ever needed to take off was a 21-yard touchdown drive on the first touchdown run on the first drive of the game.
Which, by the way, can we talk about that run? Because that's a unique run. You don't see people score touchdowns that way.
Yeah. Not as quarterbacks.
Very often. Certainly not as a quarterback. But the way he's able to take off and run in the first place is obviously a skill that he has. Mm-hmm. But then he gets downfield, and he just is so willing to slow up. It's like he took a page out of Zachariah Branch's book. The kickoff return that Zachariah Branch had, the thing that was so incredible about it was that he deliberately slows up and just sort of like waits to let his blockers set him up to then take off and speed away.
Mm-hmm.
And Caleb does that on that play. He sort of gets down to the 5 yard line and then stops and sort of ambles forward a little bit and lets the blocking set up, and then he's like, okay, now I'm gonna go boom and I'm gonna hit a defender to drag myself into the end zone. Like, that it's just, it was just unique. It was unique. It was uniquely Caleb Williams in the sense that he's able to run. He has such great vision and understanding of the game that's paired with athleticism. And then also what I loved is like the will to win, the will to get to the end zone.
You're going to quote Hawk Harrelson on this podcast?
The will to win is not it's not owned by any. That's not owned by anyone. No, what I'm saying, what I'm saying is that Caleb puts his shoulder down and barrels through a defender, and not every quarterback is A, willing to do that, and B, capable of doing it.
Well, okay. I love that run from Caleb Williams. Everything except the dropping the shoulder thing. You see him drop. You see a USC quarterback drop his shoulder and take on a defender, and you immediately have flashbacks to 1999, September of 99 at Autzen Stadium, and Carson Palmer doing it and losing his sophomore season, which ultimately tanked SC's 1999 season. So. That is something that, you know, sticks in my mind. You don't want to do that. You don't want to get injured in a way that you can avoid. However, that run was beautiful for everything else he's had. Like, he slowed down. He didn't just run through at breakneck speed. Like, he just waited for his blocks to develop and just did what he needed to do to get in the end zone. And I think it's a sign of literally everything Caleb Williams does in this game feels like he's doing it in slow motion. Because he's just that much in control. Mm-hmm. Like, it genuinely looks like as if you took a quarterback from the NFL and dropped him into college football, and they just played very slowly.
Mm-hmm.
Very in control. Not panicky. He never looks like he is concerned about anything. The touchdown pass to Dorian Singer. What's his 3 straight games that he has a touchdown where he just stays in the pocket for 12 seconds and then fires a touchdown pass? Again, cool, calm, and collected. He got a bunch of protection that time and delivers a strike to the back of the end zone to Dorian Singer, who I feel bad for, is so easy to forget about in this offense because he's just another superstar that SC has in this offense.
Well, that's the crazy thing is that we can talk about Marshawn Lloyd and we can talk about Zachariah Branch, and we're not even... We don't even have time to discuss.
We haven't even gotten to Lake McCree's four catches.
Lake McCree and Dorian Singer and Brendan Rice, who had a great touchdown catch. And Mario Williams, who's out there making... like.
Yeah, and then speaking of...
And Taj Washington, who is, again, the most underrated player in the country.
Right, yeah. And then speaking of, you know, superstars, there's Tater Tots 00 in the chat for throwing us a super chat.
Cheers. It says great win, but Curtis is still stinking it up at linebacker.
He made...
I'm going to be honest.
He made a fumble recovery.
Yeah.
Fumble recovery.
I'm going to be honest. I'm going to have to reevaluate that when I do my rewatch because I didn't notice the linebackers at all tonight. I was too busy fawning over Bear Alexander in the defensive line to notice whether or not Tackett Curtis was stinking it up or not. There were certainly moments where I thought that Stanford got the better of USC's linebackers in terms of getting to the outside and not having somebody there to cover. There were a couple missed tackles. And I know there was a big one from Shane Lee. So there's always going to be complaints about the defense, I think. I think I'm just at a realistic place with the defense where I'm just going to celebrate their wins and when it comes down to it, I'm going to rely on this offense that is absolutely ridiculously outstanding to cure all of my other ills because I just don't have the energy to spend worrying about the defense to that degree.
Yeah, and like Kenny said in the chat, it was 10 points. You can't complain about the defense. And one of those scores was the touchdown at the end of the game.
It's a dubious touchdown, too. Like
I
don't care. But Lincoln Riley cared, and I think that was very, very telling.
Well, I think that I get it.
Yeah.
Yes. Who cares really if they score? But I think there's something to the defense as a rallying point of saying, no, we're going to get the it's not a shutout, but you keep them out of the end zone, right? That's basically sort of like kind of a shutout.
Mm-hmm.
It's there needs to be a word for this. What's the word for this? Why is there not a word for keeping for a no somebody out of the end zone? It's too many words.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think you want to, you know, you want to defend your defense's honor by like challenging and all that kind of stuff, even yeah. though it looks kind of corny, challenging a play at the end of the game.
Yeah.
So I get it. I get it. Didn't go in SC's favor, but who cares? You gave up a touchdown. You in garbage time. It's you look at the points per drive over on BCF Toys tomorrow, and it's going to be zero in that game. So
yeah.
That's the important part, because garbage drives are eliminated from that. So
yeah, and like we were saying, like it just felt like the defense was out there with a little bit of intensity and a little bit of, yeah. of swagger in this.
That's
game.
What you want to see, 100%.
What you want to see, yeah, absolutely. I think that there is certainly time to nitpick the defense. There's certainly, I am certainly not
but,
convinced see, by Alex Grinch yet, even. But for what was on the field tonight, I don't know right. that you can ask for a whole lot more from this defense in terms of they played with intensity.
Yeah.
The defensive line absolutely set the tone. They held neither quarterback for Stanford completed more than 45% of their passes. And the
only thing I think was concerning from Stanford and their production, I don't care that Stanford had 206 yards in the second half. I really don't. But I think the only thing concerning about what they did was Lamson looked good on his feet.
Mm-hmm.
16 carries, 36 yards, a long of 9. So it was a bunch of just little things. But Lamson is literally probably, as it stands now, and no disrespect to him, probably the worst quarterback SC will face all season.
Yes. Yeah.
So if he was able to, you know, find a couple of running lanes, and he had, you know, a couple of them called back. But if he was able to have a couple of running lanes, what does that mean for Sanders and Penix and Nix and Rising and Moore and all those guys that you're going to yeah. face later on in the season? But this is the defense that you just wanted to see stops from. They got a million stops in this game. They wrecked havoc.
They got off the field on third down,
yes,
which is the thing that I'm continuing to ask for.
Yeah. By the way, in the chat, we've got a bunch of suggestions for what to call a, not a shutout, but not allowing a touchdown. The Iron Cat says a zone out. I like that.
I like no zone from Tom.
No zone from Tom Hamburger. Hamburger. Sorry.
I bet Tom gets that a lot.
I'm sure. I'm sorry. Murray Fig says donut. It's called a donut. Yes, I think a donut could also go for a shutout though, because of the literal zero. So, but that could work. No zone. But like, how do you use no zone? They completed the no zone.
They completed the no zone.
I don't know. I think zone out kind of works. Either way,
the zone out.
Either way, I don't think we should move the goalpost on what we want to see out of the defense. We talked about we wanted to see improvement from last year, and we talked about ad nauseum all off season. The defense just had to get better. Mm-hmm. They had to get like 7 points a game better, and if they did that, SC was going to be in position to go to the playoff potentially, given how SC nearly got to the playoff with a historically bad defense last year. Yes. This defense, as it stands, even though they've beaten up on bad teams the last 2 weeks, they look more than 5 to 7 points better.
Well, the big thing,
why are we going to sit here and like, you know, hem and haw about like one play in the fourth quarter? You know what I mean?
The big thing for me just continues to be from a personnel eye test. Like, yes, there are gaps. Schematic issues that I have. I'm still not convinced totally by the linebackers. That's mm-hmm. just what it is. But from the personnel eye test, that front seven, especially that front four or whatever number that USC uses on any given play,
mm-hmm.
looks different than what USC has had in the past. And it starts with Bear Alexander, but Keon Barnes was in there getting stops up the middle. The guys on the edge are able to go out there and make plays. It's just an improvement that I can see with my eyeballs.
Yeah, and that's hugely important, right? And I think it was RJ from USCfootball.com that tweeted something about, like, Stanford doesn't have like a FBS offensive line. And that's probably true, but SC made them also not look like they have an FBS offensive line, which is what you want. You want, SC's, ability to get to the quarterback be a thing. The crazy thing is, looking at the numbers, defensively, SC only got credit for one quarterback hurry and two sacks. Like, if you just looked at those numbers, you wouldn't think it was that great of a dominant performance from the defensive line. But I assure you it was.
I've never understood how they determine quarterback hurries, to be quite honest.
Because I can tell you
for a certainty that those quarterbacks were running for their lives.
Yeah.
For their lives.
Right.
They were hurried many, many, many times.
Yes.
So I suppose it's not a hurry if Lamson takes off and runs, and he did that 16 times, and very few of those were designed. So,
right.
You know, it's a thing, but
yeah. Randy in the chat says Rajon Davis is looking like he's going to be hard to get him out of the lineup. And
like I said,
Peter Dot says that Davis was decent today too.
Like I said, I am going to have to, for those specific positions, I'm going to be looking very closely on my rewatch, but to me, I continue to look at Rajon Davis as somebody that it still does not make sense to me that he didn't get playing time until it was absolutely necessary at the end of the season, because they literally didn't have any bodies. He's athletic. He's out there. He's not making the big mistakes that we have seen many, many, many other linebackers at USC make. That's not to say that he's playing perfectly, but he's getting the job done in there. And I am very, very happy to see it. I'm also somewhat frustrated because he's still a young player, or he was a young player, and USC could have gotten a lot of growing pains out of the way last year if they had just let him play. And now I think that we're at the start of this season, and it feels like, okay, Rajon's out there making plays, still some growing pains, but like, if USC had just given him the chance, like, we would have been beyond the growing pains by now, and he would just be the starter, and it wouldn't even be a question. But that's going back to last season, and it's sort of water under the bridge, I suppose. But yeah, I've been really happy with Rajon Davis. But it's still the bigger concerning positional concerns that I have for the defense. It's still that, and the injuries haven't helped create any clarity there. But it's also something that we're going to have to find out. We're going to have to find out more. And again, we've said this a million times, but we were not going to find out anything in, like, particularly positive about the defense in these first few weeks. We were only going to find out bad things. And I think what we've ended up at is we're definitely not finding out as many bad things as I feared initially after that first performance.
Well, we had said that the defense wasn't going to be confirmed to be better, but they could be confirmed to have not improved.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, yes, in terms of the idea that you need them to face a very good offense to really truly have confirmation, I think that's true. But I just go back to, like, it is a step forward that they are making bad teams look bad, because we just haven't seen that. I know I sound like a broken record at this point saying that, but, like, that is the first step. That is not the ultimate step, surely not.
Yeah.
But that is the first step, and so you just have to keep going good. Kenny says no touchdowns until the end. It's just insanely good. After the San Jose State game, this is huge. Exactly.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break. And come back and talk more about USC's win over Stanford. I want to get to some post-game quotes, walk through Twitter a little bit and what the reporters are saying about the post-game press conference, and then take all of the questions that we've got here live on YouTube. There's a bunch of questions. Be sure to pop your questions in the chat. It helps us out. You can put the word question in front, and we can go ahead and mark those and then get to them. So, yeah, we'll be right back.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is a company that's pushing back against this tide. They make high-quality clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more right here in the USA. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, promo code STAPLE20.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
And we're back. All right, Alicia, let's get to the post-game press conference. USC head coach Lincoln Riley talking to the media. First of all, this is from Shotgun Spratling. USC head coach Lincoln Riley was pretty dismissive of a question about his defense giving up 209 rushing yards as Stanford had 93 rushing in the first half on 9 carries. Thoughts there? You care?
No, because again, I'm going with, number one, I think Filkins is a guy who can be explosive, and I'm not surprised that he had an explosive play.
It's along 59.
And EJ Smith is a guy who can be explosive, and I'm not surprised that he had a 29 yard play.
Yeah.
The rushing stuff, let's see, it's you do the math for me. 59 plus 29 plus 20.
98.
That's on three carries. That's half of the rushing gains. It comes back to the reality of this defense is
that's what they are.
They're gonna give up an explosive rushing play here or there. That's going to happen. Is it okay? Like
that's the odds you're playing by being so aggressive.
Yes.
Right?
Now, would I prefer for USC to have a Georgia level defense where we don't have to excuse the occasional 59 yard rushing play? Absolutely. Yes, I want to be there, but I'm also realistic. USC's not there. This defense ain't it. They're not going to be that. So don't I'm not going to sit here and say like, oh no, it's unacceptable that the occasional big rushing play is going to happen. Like, no, I'm realistic. The occasional big rushing play will happen. The important thing that I saw in this game was that big rushing play happened. USC had guys able to cover it to stop it from turning into a touchdown. And then they went ahead and made the stops that stopped it from being a touchdown on the drive. Like, that's what I need from this defense. I told you at some point, like, for USC defense coming in this year with the offense that's on the other that's available to them on the other side, I will take field goals on every single drive.
Yeah.
I will give up a field goal on every single drive and be extremely happy about it. That's perfectly fine.
Because if you pair this with the offense, SC's probably scoring more than that on offense.
Yes.
Yeah. So even against the better teams.
Yeah. Yeah. Now USC's defense still needs to prove that they can do what they did with Stanford here, where they give up that big play and then they get the stop anyways, that they can do that against a Colorado or a Notre Dame or a Utah, all those things. They need to prove it.
Right.
But they haven't played those teams yet, and they're not going to play those teams yet, and I don't have any other control about it, so that's fine. You know.
Yeah, we will see. SC gets ASU on the road in 2 weeks, followed by Colorado and also on the road. Off week, next bye week, next week, followed by two straight road games. So we'll see what SC looks like in white jerseys and how they fare that way. Shotgun also tweets, USC head coach Lincoln Riley on developing a killer instinct, quote, "A team has to have a killer instinct to reach its potential." I agree.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreement all around.
Yes, but that's another hurdle that the defense has to pass for me, which is something that we've talked about in the past about how I can live with USC winning a game 45-40 so long as the defense gets the stop in the fourth quarter that allows them to win that game.
Right.
And they didn't get that stop against Utah last year in Salt Lake City, and they didn't get that stop against Tulane in the Cotton Bowl. And they didn't get that stop in the Pac-12 title game. So those are things that had to be fixed. And that's what I want to see from the defense this year.
Yeah.
That was not a scenario that we had to encounter tonight, thankfully. Mm-hmm. So the jury is still going to be out on that.
Right. Yeah, 100%. Shotgun's next tweet. USC head coach Lincoln Riley says he was disappointed in the second offensive line group. He added, quote, "The score is irrelevant. That's why we challenged that last touchdown. We don't want to give anybody an inch." The score being irrelevant, meaning the score of the game, not the score meaning the touchdown.
But yeah,
the score
of the game. I'm glad we got to this quote or this tweet in general, because I think that this is a topic that I think you sort of have to address. The second half is disappointing. From a USC perspective, I know we talked earlier that I don't care. It doesn't really matter. That's very true.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, like, you want your backups. How did Oregon end up scoring 80 points on Portland State? Because their second and third string guys went out and scored touchdowns.
Yeah.
And I want to see USC's second and third string guys go out and score touchdowns, because I think they're capable and talented enough to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, why couldn't they do that? And I think
not to cut you off there, but Cameron asks, how do you feel about the second team offense in the second half? I was kind of disappointed in them except for Deuce Robinson. And then Lamont says, what did you think of the Miller Moss performance tonight? I'm not a fan. I was not a fan. His first couple drives let the air out of the building and kind of killed the flow. Should have been a 70-point game. So keep going on what you're saying.
Yeah, I think that USC doesn't have good offensive line depth, and that is probably the thing that hurts Miller time the most, is that the offensive line, when you get away from sort of the top six guys, the drop off is stark.
Yeah.
At the same time, I have felt this going back to the Pac-12 title game. My feeling at the time, and I'm pretty sure I expressed it, was if Lincoln Riley trusted Miller Moss to be a quarterback at USC for his offense for real life, he would have put him in there after seeing Caleb be incapable of moving around for multiple drives in that game. And the fact that he didn't told me a lot about where Miller Moss stands in sort of a reality for USC. I don't think Miller Moss is a viable candidate to be a full-time starter at USC. I don't think he has the skill set that Lincoln Riley really thrives with in the offense. Not that he can't be a perfectly fine quarterback, but when you're talking about a USC team that aspires, I think, to scoring 60 points a game, You need a quarterback who has something extra, something special about him. And I'm sorry. I wish this wasn't the case. I don't see that spark. I don't see it for Miller Moss. And that's fine because he's the backup quarterback, and mm-hmm. I don't think that's the intention necessarily for him to be anything particularly special for USC. But I do think he's in a tough spot, but when you give him
he's got Caleb Williams to be compared to.
Yes. Okay, fine. Let's not compare him to Caleb Williams.
Sure.
He gets a full half of football mm-hmm. to go out there and put points on the board.
And SC scored 7.
Yeah. At the very end. You just gotta do more than that. I agree.
I don't disagree.
Yeah.
To your point about the conference championship game, and I'm not going to rehash that argument. I still think that there's a difference between trusting in Lincoln Riley Miller Moss, and then trusting in Miller Moss more than he trusts Caleb Williams. Like, those are two different
things. On one leg. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I said at the time, like, I get why you don't make that change. That's I get it.
Right.
If there was more to the trust level between Lincoln Riley and Miller Moss, we would have seen Miller Moss.
Sure. I think there was a lot of trust shown tonight by getting him to start the half. I like that.
I love that. Yeah.
I get why I put this on Twitter on the Rant and Troy account that, like, I understand why coaches, Lincoln Riley included, usually want their quarterback to have the first drive of the third quarter. It's about finishing off the drive. It's about the idea of, like, continuing and, you know, restarting the game and pretending as if you're going into the second half full bore and continuing and all those things. I get it. And maybe this is a completely different game in the second half if Caleb Williams does come out and they score another touchdown in the second half to start the second half. And maybe Stanford's spirit breaks even further. I don't know. You can argue any of those things, right? But I do think that there's a lot of merit that you can get out of going to Miller Moss at halftime and saying, hey, this is your game. Go start the second half as if you are starting the game. And so, you know, they talked about it on the TV broadcast tonight that Troy Taylor was telling his team at halftime that, you know, we're going to pretend it's 0-0, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you did that, hey, it was 7-7 at the end of the game. And if you're Stanford, you probably feel good about that second half. Absolutely. And
if you're,
you should if you're Stanford, right?
But if you're USC and you're being honest, you're not satisfied with that second half.
Yes. But isn't that sort of a good thing too?
Yeah.
That, like, you can have this game where you played the best half that any of us have ever seen in the history of football in the first half. And then you can even sit here and, like, have any sort of complaints about the game at all. Like,
yeah.
it just keeps you hungry for next week, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And I think that we know that coaches are always, always looking for their team to be doubted. They're looking for a blemish. They're looking for any of those things as a motivational factor, as a way to continue to coach, as a way to continue to provide a lesson, any of those things. Those things are here in the second half, even though SC played a perfect first half. So.
And I want to be totally fair to Miller Moss, too. His development has been stunted by USC's inability to have more games like this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, he didn't get to come in at the end of games last year when USC was pulling away from opponents, because USC wasn't pulling away from opponents because the defense wasn't letting them do it. And the year before, he certainly wasn't given that opportunity because USC mm-hmm. couldn't even beat opponents. So I want to be fair to Miller Moss. And I think that the best thing about all of this is that USC is in a position where they can start the second half with the backup quarterback out mm-hmm. there with all of the backups on both sides of the ball, getting reps.
Yeah.
And those reps, in the end, are going to help the further development of both sides of the ball in the future. Rajon Davis is another good example of, you know, I was complaining about, like, why wasn't Rajon Davis playing? Well, Rajon Davis would have had a whole lot more reps last year if USC had blown a few games open and had an opportunity to clear off the benches and let guys like Rajon Davis come in and get snaps. So USC's inability to have these kinds of games in the past stunted the development of a lot of players. And it's nice now that USC is doing this so that the future development of players is taken care of.
I will say, and maybe rewatching this game will change my opinion of this, but I have a hard time putting all of the blame on this on the second half having one score in it, a score that literally came in the dying seconds of the game, of putting it all on the quarterback.
Oh no, like, I'm not putting it on. I mean, I
know you're not, but I'm just saying.
The offensive line was not as good
for
Miller Moss as it was for Caleb. And Caleb Williams is also able to deal with an offensive line breakdown more dynamically than Miller Moss as well, which is part of the skill set.
Yeah. Anyways, I want to give a big shout out to Irvine Cattle Ranch for a super chat. It says, thank you for all the great shows. Fight on and beat the Irish.
Thank you.
Irvine Cattle Ranch over here getting ahead of themselves. three more games.
Hold on. I was watching the Colorado game this morning, Colorado-Nebraska, and I was commenting on things that USC should be aware of for when they go play Colorado. And like I had people coming in my mentions going like, you know, let's take care of business, and you know, we've got Stanford and Arizona first. There's Arizona State first. I'm like, yeah, I know.
You're not the coaching staff.
Like I'm aware. Like it's okay if you're excited.
You're not suiting up.
No, it's okay if we're looking ahead to teams like Colorado and Notre Dame. That's as a fan, you're perfectly fine to be looking ahead to those things.
Half the mentions today, for most of the day, has been, I don't know, you worry about that Colorado game? What do you think about the Colorado game? That Colorado game's looking a lot different, isn't it? Like, yeah, so half the mentions are that. So obviously, that is going to be something that ends up getting mentioned. David in the chat, so did USC cover? Yes. I just pulled it up right now. The numbers.
It was 28 points.
Yeah, and SC did cover, but I saw that the over did not hit, which can you imagine at halftime?
You would have thought for sure the over, you were money.
The over was 69.5 points. It ended up being 66 total points. That's a rough beat.
To be fair, if you were taking the over, which is always a smart bet when you're dealing with USC, you were sort of banking on the USC defense breaking down much more than it did.
Sure, but it also, like, SC was going to get there themselves.
Yeah, USC almost got there, should have almost gotten there themselves. And then Stanford, like, USC's defense decided to show up and stop Stanford from doing anything.
Cigar says, what was the attendance? 67,213. But
have we figured out what the attendance that they're selling is? They didn't announce it as a sellout.
I don't know.
It might
be in the game notes because we talked about this earlier. I don't think it's 77,500.
Because
it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
But there were fewer tarps in the Coliseum this week.
Oh, were there?
I did not go to the game this way, but the CarCast was, you know, live right after the game. But it did look to me like there were significantly more people there. Because we've talked about it before. My problem has not been like the total attendance. It's been the empty seats. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you see games, tickets on sale on StubHub for $12, that's because those tickets are already accounted for in the attendance. They've already been purchased. Those are resale tickets. And it's the people just not coming and having empty seats that has been sort of the thing that sort of has bugged me, a bunch of empty seats, in addition to, you know, not more people buying. But if you had like 62,000 people last week and every single person attended, it would have looked incredibly different.
Yeah.
Tonight's game, 67,000 is paid attendance. It really looked like it was way more full. And I think that you kind of saw that because the resale market was significantly higher than like the $13 tickets against Nevada. So, more people were heading to the Coliseum tonight, which is a good thing. It looked like a raucous, you know, atmosphere. They had those drones tonight that looked cool.
Yeah, that did look cool.
Yeah. So Birdo says, hey, guys, so excited to watch a CarCast this season. First time I've caught you live. Fight on. Welcome.
Welcome.
Good to have you.
Welcome to you and glad to have you. And welcome to any other first time viewers. We're here every week.
So, 3 times a week, yeah, 4 times a week, if you're a member. You can join us here as a membership on YouTube and get access to our Thursday night Run After Dark episodes.
So this is your reminder to smash that like button,
mm-hmm.
and hit the subscribe button.
Ring the bell,
yeah. and then think about becoming a member as well, because there's more where that came from.
Yeah, the membership, $4.99 a month. You can not only get access to our Thursday night Run After Dark episodes, but you get to access to our Discord, which was absolutely
popping today.
Popping all day, yeah. 100%. Birdo says, though, was Stanford a better team last season? I think so. Mostly because, and maybe this is splitting hairs, but like they lost a lot of talent. They had 5 different dudes that were drafted from last season. They lost a whole bunch of guys in the transfer portal. There was a reason that David Shaw is not there anymore. Yeah. He stepped away, I think, technically on his own terms, but let's be honest, if he was winning games, he'd probably still be there. But
it's also new. Anytime there's a new coaching staff, mm-hmm. It's a new system.
Yeah.
The learning curve is there. So
yeah, it'll
Stanford
take a bit.
Definitely has worse quarterback than they did last year, because
Tanner McKee
he
got drafted. Yeah.
So yeah, that's a big, big factor too.
Yeah. Trevor says, my only reaction is Stanford is literally the only team in the Pac-12 that fights for the bottom. Stanford likely won't win a single game in conference. Seriously, zero. Looking at it as it stands right now, I think Stanford is definitively the 12th team in the conference.
Well, when you consider what
everybody else is better than expected.
What everybody else has been doing. Yeah. And I think that ASU is still a little bit of the wild card of.
Mm-hmm. I don't really know what they are yet.
What are they? Yeah. But to me, Stanford's just not a good team, and I don't say that to take anything away from this game. I had so much fun watching this game. Like, it was very, 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 mm-hmm. very thrilling to see USC just absolutely put their foot on an opponent's throat and just be that much better than them. But they are that much better than Stanford, and we should expect this. And I think that as Kenneth in the chat says, you know, USC will beat ASU. Yeah, USC should go to ASU and take care of business against ASU. And mm-hmm. if they don't, then we'll have that conversation. But they should.
Right. Yeah, 100%. And looking at the conference, I think that it's everybody but Stanford and ASU, I think, are going to give anybody trouble right now. And that's a hell of a thing to say about the conference. It's in a really good spot.
Well, you look at Washington State, pulled off a win over Wisconsin today. Mm-hmm.
Back-to-back years, they beat the Badgers.
Cal.
Did they?
Cal should have beaten Auburn.
Did they lose that game?
They lost that game, missing a million field goals, apparently.
Yeah, pulling up the stats now. They lost 14-10. Yeah.
Yeah, so
three missed field goals. Yeah. Jeez.
In a 4-point loss. So
yeah. I don't know how I feel about a kicker being named Luckhurst, by the way.
Well, when like he misses it, 3 field goals, that's definitely a problem.
It might be bad Luckhurst.
That's bad Luckhurst. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Raymond Murray says, based on what we know now, how do we fare against Colorado in a few weeks? As it stands now, I don't think there's a defense in the world that can stop SC. I think that means that SC is going to be favored to win every game the rest of the way.
The fun thing,
even against Notre Dame.
The fun thing about Colorado is that the next couple of weeks we'll learn more and more about Colorado.
Yeah.
One of the problems is that we look at TCU and Nebraska, and those are very, very flawed teams. And mm-hmm. Colorado has been very impressive in taking care of those teams, especially this was a 1-11 team last year. So the turnaround is real, and their offensive weapons are absolutely dangerous enough that they should worry USC mm-hmm. to a point, to USC's defense as we know it. But when it comes down to it, if Colorado's giving up 36 points to Nebraska and 45 points to TCU, then there is no reason that USC can't put up 50 as well. So I think that game is probably much more of a shootout than...
Well, Colorado scored 36 points. They only allowed 14.
Well, they only allowed to Nebraska. That's right. They gave up 42 points to TCU. But
yeah. I think that Colorado is capable of, having... it is a home game at Folsom Field. That's probably going to be the most raucous Folsom Field crowd in like 20 years. And for that, it might be an environment that's a little tough for SC. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about this more later on this month, obviously, as we prep for that game. But I think that environment is going to be tough. And we talked about it before. When do good teams lose? They lose on the road against... Great teams lose on the road against good teams.
Yeah.
In college football. So I'm not going to sit here and say that there's no way that SC is going to lose that game. I probably thought that in the offseason, absolutely. Colorado has done a lot in the last 2 weeks to kind of have everybody eat a little bit of crow that way. But
the thing is, you can lose games to teams that have playmakers. And
yes.
Colorado.
Case in point, last year against Arizona, right?
Yeah, yeah.
SC nearly lost the game against Arizona. Why? Because Jaden DeLauro was making plays. Dorian Singer was making plays. Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely.
Why did SC lose to Oregon State in 2008? The Rogers brothers were making plays.
Exactly.
Right.
And if nothing else, the one thing that seems to be very certain about Colorado is that Shedeur Sanders can make plays. Right. Edwards, the running back, can make plays. And
Travis Hunter can make
and
plays.
Travis Hunter can certainly make plays. Right. So that is where a defense could get in trouble, especially a defense like USC's that just needs one play to give up a big play. But like that's where you can get into trouble. But that's why you need to rely on your offense to play up to their standard. And
I think we will learn more about the Buffs when they go to Autzen in a couple weeks.
Well, we're going to know a little bit more about them when they play Colorado State next year. It's the game day game.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yes, they're going to go to Autzen. We're going to see them play against Bo Nix and the Oregon offense.
Right.
And we're going to get to actually what's really going to be intriguing about this game is we're going to get to see them go against the Oregon offense, which is a very, very good Pac-12 offense, not as good as USC's, in my opinion, but very good. And then also we're going to get to see them go against the Oregon defense, which is more, I think, reliable than USC's is.
Right.
But that is not an elite defense. So we will see a little bit closer to what USC's defense might expect from what Colorado is capable of.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Colorado State did not play this week. They lost to Washington State last week, 50-24. Weird schedule. They play at Hawaii, but they're not taking advantage of a 13th game. So this was their bye week. Okay. Not sure why they didn't play a week zero game, but okay. All right. Bruno says, Oregon's looking shaky. Utah's looking shaky. I don't know. Are we in for a Washington-USC Pac-12 championship game? I think it's too early. Is Utah looking shaky? They look like what Utah looks like on the road, which is susceptible to losing games. But until they look like that at home, I don't think you can count Utah out. Utah, this is how Utah looks, especially early in the year and on the road.
And without like, Cam, again,
they've been too good for too many years to doubt them.
Cam Rising is an exceptional Pac-12 quarterback.
Right.
Cam Rising, when healthy, deserves to be talked about in the conversation with Michael Penix and Bo Nix and Caleb Williams as the best quarterbacks in the Pac-12.
Yeah.
He might not be the pro prospect that Michael Penix is, but he is a gamer and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And they are a different team when he's playing. Until he is on the field for Utah, I am not judging what Utah does, especially on the road.
Yeah.
Which we know when they're away from home, they are a much diminished team.
Mm-hmm.
For Utah, if you are Utah right now, all you care about is do you get the W? Because until Caleb Williams comes back, until Cam Rising comes back,
right,
nothing matters except for scraping by And then when Rising is back leading that team, then we'll see what Utah's ceiling is.
Yeah. By the way, we got a message from Josh. It says Oregon struggled big time today. I don't think Oregon's... Oregon nearly lost against Texas Tech. But
yeah.
I go back to great college football teams, or good, whatever words you want to use, lose on the road against decent teams. And Texas Tech was a decent, pretty decent team last year. I think that's a tough environment for them to be in. And Texas Tech, you know, bouncing back after a weird road game that they had, lost to Wyoming at 7,000 feet of elevation, which is weird, right? Like,
yeah. But this is why college football is weird.
Yes, college football is weird.
And this is why you also don't, like... Be wary of judging, like, oh, this team did this to this team. And
yeah, like...
It's like, well, yeah, Texas Tech lost to Wyoming. Wyoming plays at 7,000 feet elevation. Like, it's... Texas Tech is not a good enough team to overcome the weirdness of playing at, you know, at elevation. But I will admit, it was a weird game. It was a... I'm not sure why Oregon wasn't able to pull away. And... I wish I had been able to watch that game more closely, but it was on at the same time as Alabama,
we'll
Texas,
watch the replay at some
and
point.
I was working. So,
yeah,
you know, I would like to get a little bit of a better understanding of, like, exactly why that game was as close as it was.
Yeah.
Because
looking at it, it doesn't make any sense to me.
No, because Oregon was
Texas
getting
Tech
turnovers.
Turning the ball over.
Yeah.
And Bo Oregon never turned it over.
Yeah. I didn't watch it.
It's
so. It was a weird game. But like I said at the start, it was a weird weekend. There weren't very many upsets in college football this weekend, but there were weird games that didn't make sense, that good teams were having trouble with bad teams, and it was like, what is going on?
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and so SC's in a spot where next week will be a bye week, of course, that we mentioned. Lamont says, I'm not a fan of the bye week, especially when the defense is starting to roll. What do you think? And then there was a comment in the chat from Matthew who says, to be fair, preseason, I thought this was a terrible week for a bye week also. So, yeah, I think the tough part about this upcoming bye week for SCs is that it's followed by 9 straight games. I don't think, like, the problem with it being with this bye week is that the next bye week is Thanksgiving week after you play your 12 regular season games, which splits the season into 3 games and 9 games rather than splitting into like 3, 5, and 4 or something like that. Right.
If I were in charge, I would take the Arizona game on October 7th and I would move that up to this week and have USC play this coming week, then Arizona State, then Colorado, then bye, then Notre Dame.
Obviously, easier said than done.
That's if I were capable of doing that.
First of all, you know whose fault this is? It's John McKay's fault. John McKay just had to move the Notre Dame rivalry to October, because if the game was in November, last game of the year,
you would have had...
SC would have had the bye week in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
Everything would have made sense.
Yeah, but you really want to go to South Bend on November 27th or whatever. It's not a good week for a bye week. It feels like this freaking international break in soccer, where it's like you just started the season, you've done like 3 games of the season, you're ramped up, and then suddenly so, like,
some of us need our teams to take a week off.
Some of us, yeah, looking at you. But on the other hand, more time to get the linebackers healthy, I guess, is
that's a good one. More time to get, hopefully SC can get Mason Cobb back. I think that's going to be a plus, potentially, maybe these next couple weeks, if you get Mason Cobb back. With the idea that the defense is starting to gel, and I don't know that the pause, that the bye week affects the defense a little too much. Yeah, you want to keep the momentum going, but I think you can keep that going and sort of practice and also, gear up for the road game. If anything, I think the problem is the bye week followed by 2 straight road games. I almost wish that SC was playing a road game next week followed by a bye week followed by a road game mm-hmm. rather than having off bye. So, no, sorry.
Bye,
road.
Road, yeah.
Yeah, like that's a weird dynamic. But I don't know. Lamont says Pac-12 takes every opportunity to screw us whenever they can. I would agree with that. But in this case, it's literally SC's fault because of having to cater for to the Notre Dame rivalry.
Yeah.
That's the problem here because the Notre Dame game, normally, if that game is the week of, is week three, which is a normal spot to have a non-con game, then your bye week is in the middle of the season and everything would have worked out fine. But I think it's the addition of the week zero game, which was SC's decision to do that. Like that wasn't the Pac-12's doing. And then having the Notre Dame game being what it is makes it a little difficult as well. So yeah, Kenny says, can we just seriously celebrate this offensive and defensive performance? USC is one of the premier teams in the country, which is awesome. Absolutely.
Yes.
Where do we think that SC goes in the polls this week? You think there's any movement there? SC at sixth currently. I think they were passed by Florida State last week.
Yes, but stayed static because LSU moved back. And I think that's going to happen again. Bama's going to go back.
And Texas will
move
up. Texas
is going to jump forward.
Yeah.
My question is, I think the voters are ridiculous if they don't put Texas ahead of Ohio State. If this game wasn't a 7:30 game, mm-hmm. I think there would have been a possibility of USC getting the, like, damn, that offense is really good bump over Ohio State, who has looked unimpressive in their first couple of weeks.
Sure.
And still Kyle McCord and the quarterback situation in Ohio State is still like, is he the guy?
Mm-hmm.
So I think there could be an argument of USC moving ahead of Ohio State. I just don't think it's going to happen. Ohio State hasn't done anything to warrant, like, only beating Youngstown State 35-7 is not a good reason to move Ohio State, you know, back.
Yeah.
Especially when USC is beating up on a very, very bad Stanford team.
But it's still Stanford, whereas Ohio State played Youngstown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Penn State played Delaware. Those are FCS teams.
Yeah.
I think that could play a factor here. Realistically, I do not care about these early polls, especially because it's so hard to gauge because so many of these teams haven't played anybody.
And the early polls, the polls don't like moving you unless you win a ranked game or lose.
Right. And realistically, you can make a sound argument that Florida State or Texas should be number one because
they've actually beaten
somebody. They've done
it.
They've done something, you know, Georgia hasn't.
Michigan haven't. Well, like, yeah.
You can make that argument if you make your poll strictly on resume. Then Texas is going to get number one.
In week votes. Two when nobody right. has.
Because you can argue that Texas's win is the best win that anyone has had this year, which Lamont, it probably is.
Lamont in the chat says, "Watch them put Texas over us." Texas should absolutely be ahead of USC.
Yeah,
Texas should take Alabama's place. Like that, they should just.
They should go to three.
Flip. Yeah.
I think that
or four. I think they should be three or four. I wrote something about this on fansided.com. I expect Florida State to stay where they are, and I expect to sort of move up, and I expect Texas to go to number four. I think you can make an argument for Texas being three, for Florida State being three, whichever way you want to do it.
Yeah.
But those two teams have actually won games, and they deserve those spots. Georgia and Michigan are just teams that are grandfathered in for very good reason because they
mm-hmm.
They are very good teams who will be competing for the college football playoff. And everybody else will get there when, like, you know, as
you're going to get an opportunity.
As Derek
to
in the
up.
Chat says, it doesn't matter. Just keep winning and you'll get there. Yeah. If USC goes through their schedule and wins the games they need to win,
right.
It won't matter what the rankings look like. As of now, Texas has an extremely impressive win going into Tuscaloosa and beating Alabama.
Right.
And right now, I cannot say with any certainty that USC could do the same. So I'm not going to argue that USC should be ahead of Texas.
Yeah. I I think as the eye test goes, if I watched a USC game right now and you said, okay, where do you think they should be ranked? I would say they're definitely a top five team. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're I think they're a top four team.
I think you can make the argument.
This goes back to what we've talked about before is, like, for years, there's a difference between looking like what we think a top four team is and then them actually being one, because these polls are three-dimensional. Mm-hmm. Like, the other schools factor in here. And I think the way you laid it out, I think, yeah, SC being number five kind of makes the most sense. You keep Georgia and Michigan where they are. You put Texas at three and Florida State at four, the two teams that have the most impressive wins on the season. And then the next tier of teams that you think that should be very good, but in the grand scheme of things have been relatively untested, at least compared to Florida State and Texas, are Ohio State, SC, Penn State, and Washington. Mm-hmm. SC's probably the best of those of that group, so you put them at five.
Yeah.
But if they're at six, guess what? I do not care.
Yeah.
Don't care. It's too early. Kenny says SC would put up 30 or more on Bama. I think they would. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but how many would they give
Bama
up is the question.
Bama would put up 30 or more on USC as well.
Yeah.
Even with, like...
I think SC puts up borderline 40 points on anybody in the country right now.
Yes. The great equalizer is, I think, most of the top teams in the country can put up 40 on USC as well. So,
Until that's proven otherwise, yes. Yeah. In SC's favor... SC gets Colorado, will face a more than likely, I guess depending on what happens to Colorado or an Oregon, is a very good chance that SC is going to face a ranked Colorado team on the road. That will look very good for the resume, even if Colorado ends up being bad. Like, even if this first 2 weeks is a fluke, there's a very good chance that they are clinging to a ranked spot when SC faces them, which would be good for the resume.
Low-key, what would be potentially good for USC would be Colorado beating Oregon and then USC playing a now very highly ranked Colorado team, beating them, and then Oregon goes ahead and beats Washington a couple weeks later, and then by the time that USC plays Oregon, Oregon is back up to being highly ranked. But this is sort of what I imagine the Pac-12.
Everyone's going to probably end up beating each other.
It's going to be like a round robin of, right. Oregon's going to beat Washington. Washington's going to beat Utah. Utah's going to beat USC. USC's going to beat beat Oregon and sort of go all. It's going to be a merry-go-round. So,
yeah, SC's got too many big games on the schedule later on in the year for them not to get their opportunities to move up. So. Absolutely. Those opportunities will be there. Jason in the chat says, how responsible is coaching for playing your backup quarterbacks, playing to your backup quarterback's strengths? You've got to play to their strengths.
Yeah, but you also got to run your offense as sure. You sort of intend to run your offense. So.
Yeah, I think when you look at, you know, what SC was doing with Miller Moss in the game, yeah, they weren't necessarily expecting him to be Caleb Williams out there, but I think that you want to be able to run the ball effectively, and running the ball effectively in the second half was something that SC sort of struggled to do, which they were able to do pretty well in the first half. In the second half, SC ran the ball, 11 times for 47 yards. 4.3 yards per carry. That's not terrible, but compare that to the first half when they averaged 7.8 yards per carry. So they were just able to run the ball more effectively in the first half. Kenny says USC and Washington will be the best teams in the conference. I wouldn't bet against it. Angelo says Colorado will lose at Autzen. Probably.
That would be my guess. Yeah.
Yeah, probably. And Matthew says, well, our schedule, one loss is a guaranteed playoff spot, two losses is out.
I agree with Matthew. It does.
That seems like a good bet.
There's potentially a scenario where that gets very complicated, depending on what Texas and Florida State and Michigan. So mm-hmm. Like the problem right now is that if the top four teams won out, then you would have a situation where, yeah, one lost Pac-12 champion gets left out because Georgia can win out, Florida State can win out, Michigan can win out, and Texas can win out, and they don't play each other, and they all just sort of go. But realistically, we've all seen enough college football to understand that most teams will not go undefeated. And so when it comes to USC and this schedule, yeah, a one-loss USC that is a Pac-12 champion, I would say has probably a 90% chance, short of a doomsday scenario where all the other conference champions are undefeated, which generally doesn't happen.
Yeah.
That they're in.
The two times the Pac-12 has had a one-loss team through the Pac-12 championship game, they've gotten into the playoff.
Yes.
I think that bodes well for whoever it is that makes it out of the conference, whether it's SC, Washington, Oregon, Utah, Oregon State, whoever. But at the same time, it all depends on what happens. Florida State has a cakewalk. If Michigan's truly the best team in the Big Ten and they end up undefeated and Georgia goes undefeated, I don't know. Like, Notre Dame goes undefeated with their only win over SC, then there's no way in.
Yeah, then it gets complicated.
It all depends. You can only control what you control, which is SC's bye week this week, followed by ASU on the road next week. So that's how it goes for us. We will be back on Monday to have our Stanford Fallout episode. There will be no preview episode because USC does not play a game next week. So we will be previewing nobody on Wednesday. But on Thursday, we will have a Rod After Dark Thursday night, 9 p.m. for our members only. Now is the best time for you guys to join us. If you're watching here on YouTube, if you're on a computer, that's the easiest way to join. If you're on the phone, I still don't know if you can join on the phone. There should be a way. But you can go in there, hit the little join button that's underneath us somewhere over here. And for $4.99 a month, you get to join the Rot Squad, which allows you access to all of our bonus episodes, which usually happens on Thursday nights for Rot After Dark. You get to also join our Discord and talk with all the other fellow Rotbots and Rot Squadsmen and women. And that doesn't roll. Rot Squatters? Rot Squad members?
Rot Squad members, yes.
Yeah. So you can join us for that.
All of the people in the Rot Squad.
There you go. I am wanting to do a game show on Thursday night. So if you're in the Rot Squad and you want to participate, let us know. If you're not in the Rot Squad, now's the opportunity to get in and maybe compete in said game show. Also, our Thursday night shows are call-in shows, so you get to call in live, talk to us live, which are cool. We got a comment from USMNT442 that says, thanks for the CarCast. I want to give a huge shout-out to USMNT442, by the way. Delivering some of the best comments that we've ever received on YouTube that we've gotten from this person recently. I just want to read some of them to you guys. Alicia, are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
One day ago, I live for the Michael food takes in the episodes. I have no idea how he's made it this far being this picky, but more power to him. What a nice thing to say. That is a nice thing to say. How about this one from 8 hours ago? I nearly spat my drink when Michael said cheddar and broccoli for a backup flavor Hot Pocket. I totally did not expect anything green to be his preference. Are you kidding
me? You're like, a broccoli boy.
I'm a big broccoli boy. Huge broccoli boy. That's me. So, all right, I think that's going to wrap up the CarCast. As always, give us a call on the Rave line, which is wide open. You know, everybody calls in for the rant lines, but the Rave lines not always ringing off the hook, which means now is your opportunity. 818-643-7227 for you to call in to the Rave line, have your say about USC's big win tonight. And and then we'll be back Monday night, 5 p.m. live here on YouTube. Any thoughts as our special co-host has realized that it's time to get a WALK?
Yeah, I think our special co-host is saying that, hey, usually you take me out an hour ago. What's happening?
It's going to be great when the special co-host soils the studio someday.
I've worried about it. I've thought, oh my gosh, she's going to do it. And we're just going to be on here and just...
Nope.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. Thanks everybody for tuning in. You guys are awesome. It's after midnight. We had like 260 people here just a minute ago, which is awesome. So, we appreciate you guys. We'll be back Monday. Until then, see you and go Jacks.
See ya.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.